If you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. The day science begins to study non-physical phenomena, it will make more progress in one decade than in all the previous centuries of its existence. Nikola Tesla.
Welcome to the Frequency Shifter Show. I'm your host, Corinne Summers, founder of Artisan Pharmacy. In this show, we explore ways to raise the frequency of ourselves, one another, and our planet. We're digging deep into all things metaphysical, from what is frequency to the power of sound, the Schumann resonance, our DNA, Reiki, the energy of water, and beyond, all to shift our minds and bodies back into alignment with richer states of connection, elevated awareness, and maximum human potential. And we're bringing on the global experts and thought leaders to share their wisdom as they let us pick their brains around all these juicy, mysterious topics.
First of all, I don't know who Ricky is and metaphysical. Schumann's Renaissance? I don't even know. What are you talking about? Wait a minute. I need us to take a step back and calm down. What are we even talking about here?
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention, I have a co-host. The universe insisted. What can I say? This is Alex Terranova, founder of Dream Mason. He's sort of a newbie to some of this frequency stuff, and he's going to help keep everything balanced, grounded, and relatable.
So this show isn't just for the experts to nerd out on all things metaphysical, but it's an open welcome space for everyone to explore the mysteries of the universe and raise our frequencies together.
Hi, and welcome back to the Frequency Shifter Show. I was obsessed with this episode and interviewing Anna Choi. She talked about a lot of energy principles and Chinese medicine and things that were just fascinating to me and a lot of new things, but that just brought a lot of other energy healing techniques and together. She had this really cool framework called Alive that she shares with us, talks about bringing a little more yin to your yang, and a lot of other great stuff. What did you like about the episode, Alex?
She does a lot of kind of energy work for the modern, I want to say Westerner. She's similar to what you do. You do a lot of this also, like really bringing this energy work into maybe corporate spaces or professional spaces where it wouldn't always be accepted. You and her have that in common, is you both are like a safe bridge and access to that. And I love her story of hitting rock bottom and that being access to, you know, energy masters, because I think that's really common. A lot of us, you know, that's a version of my story. And a lot of us, it's not always emotional rock bottom. Sometimes it's health rock bottom. Sometimes it's a relationship rock bottom. But to your point, as you mentioned a few episodes ago in one of our intros, like the darkness, the shadow stuff is always often access to the light and the things that we need.
Absolutely. You need the yin and the yang in life. So she's also a TEDx speaker and a Forbes author. So I wanted to make sure that we mentioned that because those are some pretty cool accolades. So thanks again for being with us, Anna. You guys check this episode out and let us know what you think.
All right. So we got to talk first before we get into anything else. Is, you know, we were joking about this before we started, but how does one go from like Wall Street to woo-woo? How did you get into the energy worker field?
Yeah. No, I wish I could say one incident that shifted suddenly, but not the case. So it's a slow process. I did not feel, basically I had a series of soul sucking kind of businesses, either because of the wrong industry, which was a case in Wall Street. Loved my clients and the business, but not the industry. And then I was a stay-at-home mom for a while. And at that point, also started TEDx Bellevue and was really looking at how do we create an economy based on sustainable happiness instead of all about the gross domestic product, which is what had me really go into the realm of conscious business. That's part of what my major was in, was community of urban planning, where I went from like ignorant suburbanite to global citizen voting with their dollar. And so I always had a passion to serve that community specifically. And in the second business of event consulting called Joy Sprout Productions, it was all about social impact. And eventually was in the tech industry, but I don't have, like, my soul doesn't quake hearing about, hey, we're going to close the tech talent gap for more women in tech, even though I believe in that and that's important. And so meanwhile, I was getting burned out over all of these things. I actually collapsed in my financial planning business in my early 20s from overworking. And then in the second business, internally collapsed emotionally and in my soul. And I thought, this is not sustainable. I need to find alignment of mind, body, heart, and soul in a business to make anything last long. So at that point, I was a sole breadwinner, and I now had a house and a spouse and a kid to support. And so I told my husband, okay, you go be like, your turn. And I want to have space to explore an alignment business. And that's where conscious business coaching was born. And so that was the second business really pivoted into. I sold the first business. Second business pivoted into the third. And then, you know, in a short period was, you know, we did very well financially in all ways, in all realms, and life shifted dramatically. So at that point, like a little bit before that, when we were at our lowest low, and I was, you know, at one point we were on food stamps, I was like borrowing money from my parents, like in my early 30s, not cool, you know, with a family. At that point was, I think, one of my lowest points. I had one of my coaches said, you got to go see Ma. And Ma's one of my energy masters now. At the same time, I got introduced in a cafe. I did an aura reading healing, and my energy was all purple outside my body. And they're like, you need to be in your body. And I was like, how? And they're like, just tapped. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Why would I tap myself? So I went to the intro healing session, which was kind of painful physically. And then I just kind of, I was like, what is this? But I jumped in and I went to their first, like, it's body brain yoga session, which is like a Korean kind of Qigong Tai Chi. It's nothing, as people say, it's not yoga, but we don't have another name for it. But it's a lot of like, it's just a totally, there's no poses. Anyway, it's very different. And all I knew, is that I was sweating profusely within just very subtle movements, which was confusing because I don't sweat as an athlete. And then these old people could like flip over and hold like these breathing postures way more limber than I was. And I was like 30 years younger. So I was like, what are they on? And then when we ended with tea as a meditation, I was like, I'm in. So that's when I met my other energy master, you know, Il Ti Lee. I call him Sissing Nim. And it's a, you know, it's Korean based, and I'm Korean, and I'm like alignment there. So at this low point, I you know, when the student ready and is humble and desperate and wanting to surrender, the teacher appears, and I had two teachers, and they both happen to be enlightened living masters. So I started that personal journey as I was like all wonky in my, you know, figuring out my business stuff. You know, this has been 7-8 years now, but like as that built, then I got such results with it. And then my business became aligned with it, right? And I helped people with that. And then when the pandemic hit, you know, people overnight were losing like multi-$100,000 contracts. And I was like, I don't want to be in the cash flow business. Like, I'm here for their emotional resilience, which is what they were dealing with, like the ego of all of that. So from there is when I was like, well, I'm going to start teaching what I'm learning, right? So basically, I just distilled down from the energy masters. I modernize it and put it in bite-sized pieces for conscious business leaders that are high achievers so that they can actually use it and get results right away. So that's what I do now as an energy coach, essentially, is what I'm doing. But we do it through a lot of movement. And, you know, a lot of people can get esoteric and out here. I like to just, I'm a little more practical is the word coming to mind, but it's important we embody the energy.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. I'm excited to ask a lot of other questions and hear more. But first, I think I really want to know, like, what was going through your head when you were going to see Ma? It sounds like a scene from The Matrix, right? Like you've all this stuff breaking down. You're like on your way to see this mysterious leader. Like, what was going through your head? And then I'm also curious, like after that, was it a quick integration into what your next steps were? Or was this a long process to getting to, you know, feeling like you were in the place you needed to be in that niche.
Yes. So it was mysterious. I didn't know who she was. I looked her up. She looked nice. I flew my butt across the country on a credit card because we were at our lowest financial point with money I didn't have, just trusting because I was desperate and I had daddy issues still. So after all the work I had done, right, I was like, really? Still? So I get there and don't know anybody, but I trust the person implicitly that referred her. And there wasn't like lightning or fireworks that came off when I first met Mom. We did really, really deep work, energetic work. And essentially cut the roots energetically. You start like with your parents and you kind of role play out the things you've never been able to say. And in this particular program. So it's called Journey of Profound Healing. And so Ma then like, you know, cuts the roots off so that the patterns might still be there, but we have to choose to go back there or not. And when I came home for the first time, I was able to interact with my father from as a woman, than a little girl trying to please or trying to do something. And that felt great. And then life, I would say it was a pretty fast integration. And it felt like life was happening at me in a good way. So I got laid off. I was at the time contracting. One of my clients was a wealth management company and I was doing marketing for them. And at that point, I was still in the event marketing space. And unexpectedly got laid off and I'm crying and sobbing in my yoga class, different yoga class. I hadn't met the other yoga class yet. Or no, I had, but I wasn't attending. Anyway, and I just realized I, within that same day, got offered a higher paying position with 3 weeks time off in between to regather myself. And that was the beginning of like this bit large contract that is what had me work with Google and all those things. So there was a circumstantial shift immediately that continues to grow. It feels exponentially since then. Like in life, yeah, because you were like 70,000 debt from student loans, all this stuff. I mean, in a couple years, like that's been paid off. Like all these like good things came to us in a short period of time. So I do know Ma had a hand in that. It's a partnership, right? But and then Disignium has played a huge role as well in the physical embodiment of all of it too.
And then, so you had this experience. What was the like the training that had you feel like, hey, I can take this? Because I think that's a really sensitive thing, right? We all could go to like any expert or doctor or anything, anything, and go. We go to a yoga class and go, well, I could teach this now, and just kind of copy what, right? And clearly that doesn't. It probably wouldn't turn out very well, but we live in a world where people do that, right? People, we have experiences and then we're like, now we're an expert and I can do it. Now it's right. And I think like that's always how wisdom has been transferred, but it's happening like really fast. For you, what was the experience like where you, I mean, even on your website, you have like a, where are you in your energy mastery? How did you go from learning it and just having it be something you were doing to translating into something you felt like you could teach?
That question. So good question. So I have looked back and live in 7-year cycles, and I was completing out a 7-year cycle of being a student to turning it into teaching. And so what, it was a slow, gradual process. It wasn't like sudden, but I was attaining my certification as a Dawn Master, which is pretty freaking rigorous. And it's a couple week long. So you do like a brain management training course in Sedona with all the vortexes. And then you do another week and it's like rigorous physically, not because you're getting healing, which is part of it, but you're like doing pushups, like 16 a minute, like you're like physically training. And I'm also, you know, a martial artist as a black belt. So like when they, it's gotten kind of bastardized, but if I can use that word, maybe that's not the right word, but to actually master, like I don't take the word master lightly. And to take mastery takes years. And so a lot of times I'll just make the analogy with black belt training. it takes like 10 years just to become a master or to be with an enlightened teacher. You'd have to chop water for 3 years, chop wood and then cook it for 3 years. And at the end of that test, if you messed up, boom, you're out. Like you couldn't just get the teaching from the enlightened master after 10 years of devoting your life like that. So that's like the traditions I come from are more like that. So as far as the question, it was gradual and it was a realization of needing to use what had made such a difference for me with others. And I would give little bits of it initially, be like, does it work for them? Because it worked for me. Oh, it does. Okay. I have more confidence now. Give a little bit more. But then there's a certain point where you can only be like a fake amateur for so long and that you can't like just totally plagiarize and take someone's other stuff and say it's your own, right? So that's when I went deeper with different programs. And then, so in the Dao Master course, we go deeply into this Tao tradition of the Chenbu Qiang. It's an ancient script from over 10,000 years ago of the first enlightened, city and country that existed. I didn't know this, but when I just came back from Korea, and Tanglun was like one of the founding fathers, if you kind of think of Atlantis or something, we had it here on Earth, like with records, 10,000 years ago in Korea. So they ruled as the Dalai Lama would, as far as being both a spiritual leader and an economic and a business leader, right? And there's tons of documentation on this. Our flag to this day has like the yin yang and the heaven, the cosmos, the fire and the water for a reason. So I didn't realize like right under my nose was like an actual country with like tons of ceramics. Oh yeah.
Is it all four elements? Or you said fire and water. I didn't hear.
It's heaven, earth, and then fire and water. So yin yang, and then the red and the blue represent the yin yang.
Yeah, too. As above, so below.
Yeah. So so I just got back from this meditation tour and realized like think about like 1,000 years is a long time for this young country where I live, a few hundred years, right? But 10,000 years, I mean, like really grok that, like how long this has been in existence. They already know the formula. We're in a enlightened, awakened era of humanity. It was already there. We just went into darkness for a long period and forgot. And now we're coming back out. So anyway, that's what I'm using as the ancient wisdom principles. And I want to give this purely than just hack it from some podcasts, right? And start using it. So I think it's important to have a combination of the purity of a lineage. And at the same time, some of those practices no longer relevant for today's society. Like you can't just be a monk on a mountain forever, right? Like you got to like modernize, make the urban monk lifestyle. So it's important to have both the purity of the lineage with an actual teacher that's enlightened, right? And not someone just making a lot of money or whatever. And then, also modernizing it for today's times. So those two elements is what motivated me to teach and create my own curriculum where I'm taking universal purified energy principles, but just repackaging for today's times. And that's what I can own for myself. And then I'm always, listening for what my energy masters and trainers are looking forward ahead. And, it's the air of teaching. Like we've been stingy with just absorbing and, maybe being personal growth junkies or whatever. And it's time to like share the love, at least in some of my communities. I know out in the entrepreneur world, it's more the former, like they'll kind of teach too soon or prematurely before it's been like embedded into mastery. But in my communities, it's the opposite. People are really doing the work themselves and they're sharing a little, but not like more so. And so we were like pushed, maybe shoved, go teach more. So I just went from incognito teaching energy principles as a conscious business coach, right? To now being overtly, no, I'm an energy coach. Here are the things you need to do to master your energy. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it did. I want you to speak. I didn't know if I was waiting to see if Corinne was going to jump in there. I want to know, like, what does it look like when you're working with somebody? Like, what are these energy principles? If we were working with you right now, like, obviously it's probably unique to the person, But what's an example? Because you're working with, I want to say, like, the modern person who doesn't have this background. What does it look like to work with you in this way?
Yes. So there's an acronym ALIVE that we use as a foundation. And ALIVE is, each one is a principle. So A is for allowing more yin to your yang, because we as a whole society have gotten yangified, yang, 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 hustle and grind. And it's this weird thing where we don't know how to, like, stop and slow down, especially high achievers and especially entrepreneurs, business leaders. So that's why I work with that particular crowd. They have particular troubles. slower is faster. So allowing more yin to yang is literally developing structures in life from, you know, whether that's annually taking at least 1 week of vacation off per quarter, minimum. I recommend like 6 to 8, even 10, right? I'm pushing 10 this year. That's a little much, but to your quarterly rhythms, your monthly rhythms of, like,
no, more of that, more of that. I tell my clients the same thing. So I'm here for it.
Yay.
No, spreading it. It'll catch fire.
Yes, yes. It's like when you have kids and all that stuff, it's like the flow gets a little off if you're gone all the time. So that's why I'm like, fine, I'll just tear the world, take them out of school, right? We'll, like, unschool for a while. But anyway, so then there's monthly rhythms, weekly rhythms, like really detoxing, you know, on Sundays or whatever, and then daily rhythms. So and that's just structurally from a time perspective, but outside of time, then there's just the flow of the moment and really looking from constantly balancing, just like the yin yang. You know, we have so much yang. So, like, how do you add more yin in the moment to something to harmonize versus balance, right? It's the distinction of balance versus harmony. And balancing is hard, right? Because you picture, like, on a ball, like a lever, like, it's like you're constantly in tension trying to balance that sucker versus harmony is like, yeah, it's going to be out of balance. So you just add more in of something. It's just a little different energy motion. Anyway, so that's number one. I won't go long for each one, but L is listening within and inspiring soul first is I. I'll just go to them. And then V is valuing fears and E is energizing your daily flow. So the energy principles I'm taking from my masters are from, like, fit into those five categories. So think of those more like the categories that together embody something. So the L, listening within, is about how do you discern the freaking voices in your head? Who's the soul? Who's the ego? Who do you follow? How do you make decisions? The I for inspiring soul first is more about that first 30 minutes, 60 minutes of the day and before bed. If you're working out, great for your body. But if you're checked out thinking about what you got to do or watching TV or listening to music or listening to audiobook, which most people do, you're not connecting to the soul. So this is about inspiring soul first. How do you do your morning ritual connected holistically still with soul as you're doing it, honoring your highest self, true self, universe, source, whatever name you wish. And then Z is valuing fears. And this is really energetically learning how to treat fears like little children that you put under your arms. You're not trying to fix it, resist it, overcome it, which most overachievers want to get past. You want to embrace it, but not like esoterically and intellectually, but actually feel the body sensation. Oh my God, I'm going to get eaten, and like let it flow through, right? Actually master that process. So we have like a now approach to that. And then the E is energizing your daily flow. And that's about physically moving your body because the modern age is all about being stuck on our little screens all the time. Say, whether that's like 1 minute push-ups or doing intestinals. This is an audio, so it might be more difficult to see, but I think you might have a video as well. And there's like pinky thumb. There's like these interesting little tiny exercises you can do. So you can try it. You can put both fists out and try taking a thumb out and a pinky. And then you can close both and then the other side, switch. And then try to do it fast. It's awkward for everyone. They're like, I should be able to do this.
It's like so much harder. I'm like, I can't. People, I'm like, hold on. I was muted, but I'm like, wait, this doesn't mean.
Yes, your brain is like focused on this until you create the neuronal pathway. And once you do and it becomes fast, then you can do this. I was just like you, Alex. I was all fumbling around.
Yeah.
But notice you're not thinking.
Yeah.
You can't think when you're trying to do
it. It reminds me a lot of probably 2 months ago, I started boxing and I was my boxing trainer has a ton of like martial arts and fighting experience. And he's gotten really into masculine and feminine energy recently. And when I came into box, he was like, hey, can you explain to me like about the masculine and the feminine? And I was like, yeah. And I started explaining in other ways. And then when we were boxing, I was like, hey, this is actually perfect. Boxing, I would assert, is actually more in the feminine. And he kind of looked at me like, boxing, how is boxing in the feminine? And I said, well, look, consider this. Boxing is a dance. It's a rhythm. It's actually reconnecting with your opponent. If you're disconnected from your opponent, you're not going to actually be in connection in what, how you need to move, avoid, punch, whatnot. Boxing is also your body and your breath are very aligned. And I said, like, compare, and there's also no way that it's supposed to go. There's not like a right, there's not a scripted, first I do this punch, then I move this way. It's all in the dance. And I said, like, compared to, let's say, a sport like baseball or football, which has like plays and is scripted and is like, oh, if we see them doing this, then we organize and we do this. And it's very, that which I would say is a very masculine sport, because it's like there's a clear way that we're supposed to go. It's like a straight line, and boxing is more of like a circle and a dance. And I was sharing this with him, and I said, see, and this is where I'm having, like, when we're talking about the finger thing, I'm struggling with boxing because it's different neural pathways. I can throw a ball, I can catch, right? I can do these very distinct movements, but the boxing movements are a completely different set, right, of muscle memory and neural pathway that I have to completely retrain. And I think that what you just did is like, you understand, okay, I'm going to do this and this, like moving your thumbs and your pinkies like you're doing, but it doesn't actually fully connect. You have to really focus and practice and build that network in your mind. And then over time, you have both, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. It's just practice over and over and over and over, repetition will carve the new pathway. That's beautifully said. I love what you said about the femininity of boxing.
Yeah. He was like, you both looked pretty surprised when I was like, boxing is feminine. But from a sport perspective, right?
So yeah. So energy, you know, energizing your daily flow from the pinky thumb, that's the principle behind that is water up, fire down. And mostly we have really hot heads. And we have really cold guts from sitting all day. So we're hot-headed. We have too much thinking here. And so water up, fire down is an ancient principle where you're just drawing the energy heat into your core belly, which is the engine, which is, you know, the battery of the phone, whatever, like analogy you use. And then cooling back up this meridian in having a calm, cool mind. So just like nature would soak, water soaks up roots, shines down. That's what you want to do with water far down. If you have that level of circulation, which is pretty easy to achieve in a short period of time throughout the day, so many other things that people deal with energy drains or leaks disappear because you're in flow, literally, energetically in the system in the body. Anyway, so that's just an overview of the Alive.
Thank you. That is, there's like a million golden nuggets in there. I would love to actually do a Mythbuster though on, I love this, water up, fire down. We do. We have hot heads, cold bellies, overstimulus, modern, you know, American food diet. It's terrible and absolutely creating that dynamic in people. And it's so funny because we have so many wellness rituals or fads that create, that dampen the digestive fire is how they talk about it in Ayurveda, right? We completely dampen that digestive fire and that heat that we're supposed to have in the gut and in the digestion. Can you help break some of those myths, like smoothies, for instance, people drinking a big smoothie first thing in the morning, or are there other things that you could share that people are commonly doing that they should be doing maybe something different or the opposite? That question makes sense.
That's a very interesting
like
question.
That, like the yeah. Smoothie, like, is there, like, I know there are a lot of like kind of common ones.
So
realize when it's a health fad.
It's tough to say a one size fits all, right? Because it really does depend. So for example, based on your dosha type, if you're Vata, Pitta, or Kapha, I would recommend a smoothie or not at the beginning of the day.
depending on the season, I would recommend a smoothie or not. If you're in summer, sure, that balances out the yin and yang and the harmony. But if you're having in the winter, already cold, having more coldness, not good for the circulation. So it depends on the environmental situation you're in, the cycle of the seasons, and then your personal tendency of your body type, that would be why a smoothie is good or not in the morning. But there's some exercises I can give you now that surely will fire up your digestive fires and your, we call it tanjon. Tanjon means energy center. And we have actually 7 tanjons, but we focus on building up the first because you have to have that physical power, which then overflows into the heart power, into the sixth gland, right? Second, fourth, sixth chakra. But most people are working on just the sixth chakra or just the fourth opening up chakra without paying attention to the freaking physical one, which is containing the whole damn thing. So if you start off with strengthening that, some people are stronger there. This opens up and opens up and they can all, you know, circulate. And there's actually a ton of breathing. We could go deep here.
Could we do
there's so many sections of breathing.
Could we try one for yes. like focus on okay. the gut or okay, digestion? Yeah.
So if you're listening to this, then place your both fists in a light fist, not like too clenched, not too loose, just in the between, and tap 2 inches below your navel. So this is to your
It doesn't matter where the thumb is?
It actually, so you can put it inside to grab more energy. You can kind of alter it depending on where your energy's at. This is going to leak a little. So if you're hot, you might do this. But otherwise, if you want to grab more. Anyway, so not really. Don't worry about it right now. I don't want to concern you with those kinds of details yet. We are not there. So go ahead and tap your tanjon. And you can be in a horse riding stance, you know, hips slightly bigger than shoulder width, or sitting. Make sure spine is straight, tailbone tucked. And as you tap, feel the vibration. A lot of people go like this when they're tapping on 2 different sides. No, same spot like this, like a drum beating on the same spot. So you want to drum down 2 inches below and then feel the vibration going to the back, your myung mun. It's the small of your back. And as you do that, it might be uncomfortable, but your awareness, right, is focus where your mind goes, energy flows, matter forms. So make sure to bring your energy down and your awareness to where you feel the vibration. And what we're doing right now is many things in this seemingly simple exercise. We are awakening your consciousness to come back into the body. Rather than be homeless with our mind, we're coming back home. Number 2, you are actually joggling. Energy travels through light, sound, and vibration. We're using vibration to bring awareness into our tanjon. Number 3, we are exercising our inner organs that are very often neglected. We don't pay attention to through simply vibrating them. Helps shed toxins, stress, tension, and function more properly to their optimum performance. As you inhale, exhale, you can go release more tension that way. Inhale through the nose, exhale. And if you're standing, you can drop your weight, like your gravity, into the feet. So you feel your yong chen, which is the acupressure points in the center of the balls of your feet. Connect to Mother Earth, allow her to support you. So you're light on top, no energy, tension above the waist, and you're heavy, and there's energy heavy in the bottom, your legs. So you can do this to music and find your rhythm. So you can do it in silence. You can do it when you're meditating to get started. And then now what I want you to do is take both thumbs. We're kind of warming it up right now. Then put them on your belly button like this. Okay. And let your hands rest. So it's kind of making a triangle between your forefingers and your thumbs or little heart. Suck your belly button into your spine. Like a standing or sitting crunch. And kind of think of it like billows heating up the fire of your tanjon. As you push in and out. I burp or you might have gas, let out, let it go. It really starts to clear and purify that area of the gut, right? Which we know the second gut is
that's like the Vindi and yoga and pranayama and different pranayama exercises.
Yes, kriya. But this one, initially, don't worry about your breath. A little different. And then as you expand, you can start to pulse, you know, as you're inhaling, exhaling. But for now, just do that. And you can go a little faster, like one, two, three, four. Or you can go long and slow, like one, two. But for now, just try the pulsing. One, two, three, four, like that. Now tell me when you start to feel heat down there. Do you feel it? Kind of undeniable, right? You just really feel that tanjan. Okay, good. So right now we're firing up. When you start to sense saliva in your mouth, you sweat or you feel heat, then you're achieving water fire down. Do you feel it? Any of those things? If you went longer, you would start to feel the cooling effect. And then go back to this tanjan tapping that you were doing. So usually I recommend about 300 up to 1,000 a day. I know that sounds like a lot, but it takes about 20 minutes to do 1,000. Okay. And then when you go back to the tanjan tapping, okay, take both hands. You can stop for a moment and just rub them really fast. You're making fire. And then go like this, like you're twisting a light bulb, twisting your hands back and forth. Focusing on the wrist, focusing on the wrist. Can you feel your hands heating up? Heating up, tap, 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 including your wrists, not just your fingertips. Tap, 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 tips of your fingertips. Shake. Shake, 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 shake and bake. Go back to rubbing. Twisting. Woo! Can you feel it in your wrists? And stop. Put your hands like an energy ball facing each other, palms in front of your heart. Can you feel that? Can you feel the energy? You just generated that, right? It's all around you all the time, but that's your sixth sense of energy. That's what energy feels like. And as you inhale, you can expand your energy ball. As you exhale, condense it and follow the energy, which it then tells you when to breathe and then tells your hands when to move. We usually do that all backwards. Feel the energy, breathe, then move in and out with your breath. You heighten your sense of energy when you have a hot belly and you have water fire down circulation, much easier to feel the energy. And as you're feeling and putting your awareness between your palms, as your mind might fly out in your thoughts, oh, what about this? What about this question? Which question? And as you bring those thoughts back into the energy ball, notice you may have moments of no thinking. This is what we call qigong, which means no thinking. The form of qigong. And this is what is meant by mind, body, spirit, holistic approach, right? Everything is one. So too often when we meditate, people can't because their physical body can't handle it, whether it's the sitting, their emotions are all everywhere, their thoughts are everywhere, but this helps bring everything into one place in a very simple way.
It feels like Reiki. That is it's so cool. Sorry, what, Alex?
Everyone's a healer. So that's cool. It's like we're just here to awaken everyone.
Yeah, that was great. I had myself on mute so you couldn't like hear me, but like I could really feel temperature changes. And what I thought was interesting is obviously I think you could feel heat because you're like moving. So that feels like obvious, but there were other parts of me that cooled down while other parts of me were getting hot, which was, I feel like more unique because why were parts getting cold, right? When I'm like doing this. And you could really feel, like I could really sense like energy there that naturally moved my hands. It almost felt like, it's funny, but you know, when you're like a little kid and you're playing with a Ouija board and you're like, who's moving it? But I was sitting here and I was like, wait, who's moving my hands, right? But obviously it had that sensation. It was very cool.
Yes. called Dancing with the Energy, Pound Mortal.
What do you, as we kind of get to the end here, what do you want people to know that you haven't been able to share with us or that like we haven't asked you about? Is there anything? It's kind of a, obviously broad.
Or a really, or like your favorite client story, like transformation story, if you have a good one like that.
Yeah. So Brianna is a client that, you know, is a six-figure business owner, multi-six-figure business owner. And she's was homeschooling her kids at the time that I was working with her and just burned out from back-to-back meetings, but has some, you know, cared about her self-care and stuff. But she was very impatient with her kids. She found that was frustrating and didn't have much time to work all in her business. And so when we worked together, we just tweaked very minor things using these energy principles. And one of the things was ensuring that the first thing she did when she woke up was being able to, you know, do yoga and meditate and so forth, which was for her a struggle to actually establish consistently. And a lot of that was logistical. And we just tweaked a few things that allowed her to do that, even in the chaos with her kids, that then allowed her and immediately could feel the results where, you know, kid says something irritating, reaction, she could slow down and feel and then let it pass and choose to say something different rather than reacting. And she found she was able to slow down and just move faster through being slower, which, you know, was a huge energetic release for her. That's like an example of like a teeny tiny thing that can make a bigger difference for a client. Recently, there has been, we have like a, there's, I'm like sifting through 10 different stories that have recently happened. So I'll share about Selena. So Selena is someone that would wake up with maybe some chronic back pain, you know, maybe have good sleep sometimes, but otherwise pretty good with her health and wellness overall. And through doing the different energy practices that we do, she has established, I'm so proud of her, this consistent bowing routine of 103 bows every morning without fail, that her being now just on a meeting is so large. Her presence, she's like in her body again. We bring a lot of people back into their bodies. Or like Evan, this other dude that has this graphic design agency. He has, you know, kids that just went to college, but he was kind of always like, he's a great guy and he was spiritual, but like, he's not quite, you know, his mind was out here ideating. And now like, we all were like, he's here. Like his presence, you can see the white of his eyes. And he says, I am just so much more present. I'm doing actually able to do one thing at a time than constantly multitask. I have a higher level of, you know, relationship with my kids and with my wife. And he's just happier. Like there's not this kind of underlying chronic anxiety, I would say, that was present before. So those are just a few things, but there's like a lot. There's one guy that freaking had a heart attack before working with me and was like on six pills and had no self-care. It was just super burned out, kidney failure, all of that. And so it took about just 8 weeks, 12 weeks of working. This was more one-on-one work and down to zero pills, 6 hours of self-care a day, was going to go in to shift the heart, not or surgery, not doing that now. Like, like physical health, right? So whether it's physical or sometimes more emotional for people, sometimes more spiritual, it just works. It's energy, right?
And the ripple effect of those small things is huge. It's usually the small little things that are usually keeping people from accomplishing all the other things in their life. So
exactly.
I love that. Those are such good stories. Thank you so much. Thanks for, you know, the experience that you gave us, the actual, we don't always get to have live energy experiences, right? A lot of this is conversation. So it's always like an extra joy when somebody we get to do kind of have a practice or a thing that we get to actually experience. And when it's explained, right, someone at home can do it, which is really cool for them. So thanks for bringing us that. Thanks for, you know, the journey from the rock bottom, like sharing. I think it's so important when we get to hear like where people came from and that it doesn't take 30 years to necessarily change you, right? Like that client you can change pretty rapidly if you're committed to it and you're dedicated. Thanks for being you and all that you're bringing to people. Where can people find you if they want to learn more or work with you?
Yes. Then you just go to my website, www.annasunchoy.com. We're actually rebranding to Soul Joy very soon. So it will be soon Soul Joy, SOLJOY.life. Soul Joy Life. SOL, not with you. SOLJOY.life. And I'm on Insight Timer. So there you can, all this stuff you have to experience. So I encourage you to try a free, you know, Qigong Tai Chi session that I do. I have one coming up. Usually I do them monthly. So if you go to Insight Timer, look up Anna Sun Choi, S-U-N, then you can find like the next upcoming free class to try. And then we have, you can just find our, we have that main five session masterclass. You can check out on the website as well.
Amazing. You are such a beautiful soul. Thank you again for sharing your journey and inspiring entrepreneurs and people that may just want to find some healing in their life through create shifts and changes in their life through energy work. We really appreciate your time. And thank you again, everyone else, for joining us for another episode of the Frequency Shifter Show. Make sure you follow Anna and take advantage of that amazing gift for a free session. And we'll see you back again soon in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Frequency Shifters. We really hope that you got some value, you learned something, and that there's something from this episode that you can take away and use in your life. Who are you thinking of right now that needs to hear this episode? Please share it with them. Share this on social media, subscribe and like and leave a comment. And please, if you have a comment or an idea or something that you want us to talk about or investigate, leave it online and we will go into those and bring you that information. Please like, share, and subscribe, and we will see you next time.